everybody, and welcome to episode 347 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Cusinez, and a lot has happened since the last show. I was actually going to record a few days ago, and then I decided to record a vlog out of the blue for the first time in forever for no real reason. I just sort of... I don't really know. I just remembered I have a webcam, and I had an itch, and I needed to scratch it. And my real big problem with vlogging before was that I didn't enjoy the slight hassle that came with recording on my iPhone and then having to take the file and put it on the computer and all that. But more so than anything, I was always a little annoyed with the audio quality of the iPhone mic, which, you know, it's not meant for high quality vlogging or anything, so that shouldn't have come as a surprise, but it always bugged me a bit, and that was in part why I stopped doing it. And I was like, hey, I actually have a webcam that shoots 720p, which is fine, because I'm never going to shoot 1080p just because file sizes would get a little bit too big, and my upload speeds aren't that great, so I'm never going to do that. So 720p is all I need. And then I recorded a vlog. And it wasn't much of a vlog. It turned into a 22 or so minute ramble-thon where I ended up unboxing my copy of Noragami Arigato, the limited edition, which just came out. I received my copy maybe that day or the day before. So I unboxed it. Did a terrible job with that. I turned off the autofocus feature on the camera when I was just doing my bit and didn't turn it back on when I was shoving everything in the camera's face. So a lot of the things were not entirely in focus. But also I never opened the case, which I think is something you do. I had no plans. It was clear if you watched the video that I did not plan it or plan anything out. That I was just like, whatever. But I may do future unboxings, even though I've never been one to really watch them. I've watched them occasionally just if I want to make sure of whether or not something is in a case, which may be why most people watch them, thus the usefulness. But I think a lot of people just enjoy watching them, even if they have no intention of getting a product. But I can see why people do them, because for me at least... especially unboxing them from the packaging that it comes in from UPS or, you know, wherever. It's just fun to cut them open and then throw a bunch of crap around. That was the most fun I had in the entire video. It was just like, here's the box. I can throw it behind me. Here's some paper. Throw it behind me. Oh, there's a packing slip. Throw it behind me. I was having a ball just throwing the crap all over my room. So that was fun. And I don't know, it seems like people have responded well to that video. And I'm surprised by how many people have watched it, given how long it is, even though they count a view as just someone watching for a few seconds, I think. I'm not sure. I didn't check the actual, because I think you can see all the stats in there too, is like how long someone's watched it or whatever. But yeah, I will probably do more things like that in the future. Because that was somewhat easier to put together and everything. And it was just fun to do it again. And I think I will always probably do it from the side wearing a hoodie, because I think that is how I look the least ugly. So that, you just got to get used to that style. I also updated the Patreon a bit to add in a few goals and, just clean up a few things and throwing a little things here. So go over to patreon.com/pxs to check that out and use that if you want to support the site and the podcast, this and the videos and everything we do over there, the art I do and all that jazz. Find out more information over at Patreon. We got a new patron, which is nice and very sweet and surprising. But, yeah, check that out. And, yeah, so I've got a lot of anime to talk about. And just one game, I thought I was going to be able to talk finally about this other game, but then I checked the email and I can't talk about it until the 24th. So today is the 23rd. I don't want to hold the episode another day. So sucks to be that game. I'll probably, I guess, talk about it on Pixelated Radio, which we should be recording successfully this time on Sunday. Or I might just record one of these episodes again and have nothing to talk about on Pixelated Radio, so I can just be on there and annoying the hell out of everyone, not adding any kind of substance to it. But before I get to the anime I've been watching, I want to talk about a little conversation, debate, heatedness that happened on Twitter earlier today. And it was just weird. I was not expecting such a heavy dialogue to be going on Twitter at like 2:30 to 3 in the morning Central Time, my time. And yeah, it was exhausting. But basically, Justin Rojas, who works over at Funimation, I think he's like the PR guru, the face of Funimation in many ways. At least that's how I look at him. When I think of Funimation, I think of him first and foremost, as like the champion of it and the guy going about telling everyone how good it is and what it does and all that jazz. But he posted on Twitter something along the lines of he got into this like heated thing with someone at a bar who was talking about watching Dragon Ball Z and preferring the subs and watching it illegally. And he thought that he went a bit overboard on this guy, you know, defending not streaming things illegally and, you know, dubs and all that. And then I joined the conversation and went some back and forth. And, you know, there was a lot of good back and forth between me and him and a few other people. But then he did one of those things where it's a reply, but you make sure that everyone can see it by putting a period at the beginning, which those still always bug me because I'm just like, oh, God, that period at the very start and then a name, it just, format-wise, it looks so ugly that it really bothers me. But so what the original thing was, let me see if I can find it. Can I find it? Can I find it? I don't know. But it was along the lines of, you know, what do you care about someone streaming something illegally? You know, when it doesn't hurt you, you know, who cares about things when they don't hurt you? And Justin said, well, it does hurt me both professionally and personally, you know, from a hobby standpoint, and the fact that he works in the industry and illegal downloads do hurt him and his business. And I added on that with a few comments of my own, and he replied back rather with some hostility, and then I ended up just deciding to move on because I was too tired to get, and I was getting super stressed by it at like 3 in the morning. I'm like, why am I having this conversation at 3 in the morning? But my reply was, and here is the thing that he said. I'd argue that, quote, unquote, doesn't hurt anyone's statement. In fact, it hurts me both professionally and personally. Anyone else? You question? So then I replied. And I said, it absolutely hurts me because it hurts the industry and those in it who work hard to make and distribute anime. And streaming illegally shows a lack of care and respect for an industry one seemingly claims to like. Nothing is free to make, so if everyone just decided to stream illegally, there'd be a lot less anime out there. This is the response after his barrage of things. So his response to me was, where here? Let's go, because this is no, that's not. Let me get to it. This is exciting content, I know. But it was just something. And I'm just going to read his stuff word for word. "You're a joke, so what if someone cannot afford to watch anime? They should not, if it's more important to put food on the table for their wife and children. It's people like you that make me sick. Voice actors get paid plenty. None of them are starving. Can your small brain even understand how much anime comes out? That will never happen. People have been downloading and streaming movies for so many years, and there was not one movie star on the streets. Same thing for voice actors. Stop being greedy." So, one, I don't want to make a generalization, but I'm going to make a generalization. Sounds like, and from his picture, looks like a Trump supporter. Not that I want to say that in the negative, but there's that. But one of the arguments against him is that you can watch a lot of anime legally, streaming, through Crunchyroll, with ads, and just having to wait a bit longer. So, downloading things illegally, you don't have to do it. Just wait. But the thing that really bothers me about his replies specifically is his statement. What if someone cannot afford to watch anime? They should not, if it's more important to put food on the table for their wife and children. If you can't afford a few bucks every month for a streaming service, because Crunchyroll and Funimation, they're both, I think, under $10 for the basic membership package. I think it's, you know, around $6, $6 to $8 for Crunchyroll and Funimation. If you can't afford $6 a month, if money is so tight that $6, if you'd be paying it there, would be going away from feeding your wife and children, if he has a wife and child, I don't know, or children, maybe you shouldn't be watching anime at all. Maybe you should be doing something better with that time. I don't want to tell people what to do, but if things are so rough, like that would be someone downloading games illegally and then playing video games illegally because they can't afford to buy them, and using that time to play games when they should be maybe trying to find a second job if things are that tough, or doing something to try and improve their life. And they might say, well, you know, playing games makes me happier, but I don't see that. It just does not compute for me, the justification of, obtaining things illegally in that sense. And it does hurt the industry. It does. There's no way to, like, and just like his statement about, you know, voice actors, they're not starving. Like, I was like, it just came across as very selfish, his replies. And then I just replied back with, it's clear we will never agree. And let's, you know, I hope you have a great rest of your night, because I was so triggered by his responses. I wanted to like lash out, but I don't know. It was very bothersome to me, especially how hostile he was in the first few ones, where he's like, I make him sick. I'm a joke. My small brain. There was no need for that. But that, you know, shows his character. But anyway, moving on to what I've been watching, because I can't believe it's already been almost 15 minutes. If you're still listening after that just slight rambly bit of whatever, congratulations, you're magnificent. So I'm gonna start off with a movie which I finally watched after picking it up from Target when they had a buy two get one free deal, and I had a few movies that I really wanted to get that I had yet to pick up. It is Kaguya Hime no Monogatari, otherwise known as The Tale of the Princess Kaguya, which is a Studio Ghibli film, and it is one of the films by Isao Takahata, who is known for stuff like Pompoko and Grave of the Fireflies. And this was really something special. It's so beautiful. I don't want to go too far into the story. I'm not going to talk too much about it. I just recommend seeing it. I think one of the problems with it is that it is a more adult story. It's not very fantastical or playful. It's a long movie. It's, I think, around 2 hours and 10 minutes or so. It's something I would highly recommend watching. I didn't watch the dub. I'd recommend watching it subtitled because the story, which it's based on a folktale of the same name, and it's about this, I think that, you know, the older couple, a man and his wife, who find this little, very tiny girl who at first looks like a little princess, growing in a field of, I believe, bamboo stalks, bamboo shoots, and takes her home, and then she turns into a little baby, and then she starts growing, and she grows at a faster pace than regular humans, and they turn her into a princess, and it's just sort of about her and her fighting to be who she wants to be, and her father, in this case specifically, pushing her towards being this proper princess, and the struggle and conflict of all that. But what I really love about it is the visuals, because it looks like a painting that has been brought to life. I don't want to say this as a negative towards all other anime, because it's not. All anime is beautiful, you know, to varying degrees. But The Tale of the Princess Kaguya really feels like a work of art brought to life. Like, you could just freeze the frame at any point and take a still of it and frame it, and it would look amazing. And there are some moments, especially, like, there was a part where she sort of has this breakdown and runs off into the woods. I don't remember if that was a dream or not, but the motion and all of that was incredible. It is just an incredibly beautiful anime, and I'm so happy I finally watched it, because it really was something special. And sort of cements my personal feeling that Isao Takahata is the true visionary over at Studio Ghibli. I know he and Miyazaki founded Studio Ghibli, and most people would put Miyazaki over him, but I just think his work is much more interesting and more varied, and it grabs me way more. You know, I feel like you've seen one Miyazaki movie, you've kind of, not to say you've seen them all, that they're all exactly the same, but there are a lot of similar points, and I think there's much more variety and chances and just weirdness in some cases too in Takahata's work. Moving on, I checked out Zankyo no Terror, otherwise known as Terror in Resonance, which is from the director, writer, and all that from who did Cowboy Bebop, Shinichiro Watanabe. Always, I'm so good at names, you can tell. But this is, I'll read the synopsis over from Monomilis. Painted in red, the word Vaughn is all that is left behind after a terrorist attack on a nuclear facility in Japan. The government is shattered by their inability to act, and the police are left frantically searching for ways to crack down the perpetrators. The public are clueless until, 6 months later, a strange video makes its way onto the internet. In it, two teenagers who identify themselves only as Sphinx directly challenge the police, threatening to cause destruction and mayhem across Tokyo. God, I don't know why I read these, because it never comes out right if I just read it first. If I read it for the first time live on the podcast, unable to stop the mass panic quickly spreading through the city, desperate for any leads in the vest. It's basically about these two teenagers who are performing, that's a bad word, doing terrorist attacks across parts of Japan, and specifically nonviolent. They make sure that when they do explosions or this or that, that they're doing them in places that are evacuated or in ways that they make sure no one will be hurt. And the reason they're doing this is to get enough attention so that people will listen to them when they come out to reveal something about their past. I don't want to go into that because that would ruin this show, but it was a really, really well done anime. It's very, very pretty. The art style is, it's a very muted color palette, so it's not very colorful. It's a slightly desaturated. And there's not much in skin tones, especially, which at times was a bit annoying. But it's really well done. It didn't do enough to reach that like greatness, that like really high echelon for me, but it was an interesting story and somewhat thought provoking. I think you could have, if you watch this with some friends, some interesting discussions on how you feel about these characters and whether their acts were justified or not, because, you know, there are a lot of thoughts when it comes to terrorism and protests and all that kind of stuff. And one could look at what they're doing as extreme forms of nonviolent protest. Because, you know, in protest, people will throw things through store windows and stuff like that. And I'm not a fan of that. But some people think that's fine. And this, in a way, is like that, but just, you know, rocketed up tenfold, a hundredfold, a thousandfold, you know, where they destroy six floors of an entire building, not killing anyone, but they do massive damage so that, you know, eventually they'll be able to get their voices heard. And do they get their voices heard? You'll have to watch to find out. But that was pretty good. I believe it's on Funimation. The dub, I should also point that out. I watched that one in particular dubbed, and it was a fairly good dub. I was surprised by how good it was overall. There are a few performance hiccups here and there, but overall it was a really solid dub. And if you like dubs, it's definitely worth going that route. And you can watch that on Funimation. So after that, I watched this little short because I was trying to find things to watch after I finished something or other. And I was looking at my plan to watch list on my anime list, and I saw this thing, and I'm like, okay. And it's Eve no Jikan, otherwise known as Time of Eve. It's an ONA, six-episode ONA, and I think they took some of the, or a good chunk of the footage from the ONA, added some stuff here and there, and put it into movie form. And for those who don't know what ONA is, it's just like an OVA, but it's originally made for the web. So ONA, original net animation, OVA, original video animation. That's the only difference. And, you know, people can argue, well, OVAs are typically higher quality, or ONAs are typically higher quality, blah, 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 blah. But what Time of Eve is about is distant future, or an alternate future, an alternate current time, in Japan. I believe it takes place in Japan, where androids have now become fairly common for practical use, having them in your home as a sort of, you know, butler maid, just general helper. You know, they'll cook for you, they'll clean, they'll do all this stuff. And it's about the question of how we treat androids, you know, if we treat them like humans or robots or things, and what the kind of relationship we can have with them, and whether it's okay for them to act more human, and, you know, if not knowing if they're, like, there's a lot of questions about the morality of androids and all of that. And it's just a really well thought out and well written and, you know, heartfelt. It's a very thoughtful take on all of that. And I was surprised by that. It's a really, really solid show. I was surprised by how good it was. The only problem I have with it is that it doesn't, and this could just be because it is an ONA, it doesn't feel complete in a way. It doesn't feel like you really had a story across the ONA, because the way the ONAs are structured as well is that they each sort of focus on a particular group of people or a single person at this one bar, because a lot of the episodes take place, you're following this high school student who finds this bar after he notices his own android went like missing for a certain amount of time. And then he and his friend follow her to, or her GPS location of this bar, which is a bar. And there are a lot of these across the city where humans and androids can interact, and they're not supposed to treat each other any differently. No discrimination. Outside of these bars, androids have these like halos above their head, so you can tell that they're an android. In the bar, nobody has those. So you can't tell if someone's an android unless they're acting like one. But maybe that doesn't mean they're an android. And it structurally follows various characters who are regulars at this bar. Or it's not a bar, because it's more like a coffee shop. Because there are kids there, so it's not a bar. But I was surprised. It's very thoughtful. And it was really, really good. And then, other than that, what I've been watching now, and I'm almost through the first season, is the original Sailor Moon. And this is the first time I've ever watched it from start to finish in order. And the thing that surprises me most is that I'm really liking it. There's some things I don't like about it, particularly Rey, Sailor Mars. She's just an incredible bitch. And I've read from people that she gets better in the following seasons, where she kind of redeems herself, which I hope that happens, because I can't stand her. She's awful. And Ami, Sailor Mercury, is the best and so sweet and adorable and just the best. And Luna, just because she's a cat, is awesome. You know, Artemis is fine too, but Luna is the shiznit. I don't know what I'm saying, shiznit. And Sailor Moon, she's whatever. I mean, she's good for what she is, being this like ditzy, still kind of heartfelt. She almost feels like she could be related to Umaru. That doesn't sound right. Himoto Maru-chan. But the only thing that really doesn't work for me is that it does have a bit, especially just certain moments where it's overly obviously geared towards the younger girl crowd, with how cheesy it gets with its romance and how overly, like, it just is like preteen CW feeling vibes to it, but those aren't as common as I expected or thought, remember them being. But I've been enjoying that. And one thing that surprises me most is that I remember not liking it as a kid because I hated the art style, and the art style doesn't bother me now. I actually kind of like it and find it a little bit charming. I really appreciate how colorful it is. And oddly enough, I was looking at some screenshots from Sailor Moon Crystal, And that is actually sort of what I remember the original looking like and hating. Because what I hate about Crystal, and I think this is something that is really prevalent in Clannad, which is a fairly acclaimed series that I've yet to watch because I can't stand the way they look, is I don't like these overly complicated, like, claw-like hair styles that, like, where the bangs just look like a bunch of different claws. It really bothers me because it just looks super weird and so unnatural, and it's just a very unpleasant look where it's just sort of not using any real shading and just has a bunch of strong lines that are just like, here are a bunch of claws in your hair. And I've also been watching it dubbed, and this is the new dub from Viz Media, and I really like it. I think it's a really, really strong dub. There are a few performances in there that are not the best, but overall it's a really, really solid dub, and going back and checking out the original dub for Sailor Moon, you know, I can't see how people can defend it as anything other than being, you know, for nostalgic reasons, because it's not that great. I'm enjoying the new dub for it. So yeah, and I've been watching on Hulu. I don't know if it's available anywhere else. But yeah, watching on Hulu and enjoying it way more than I expected. Ami's the best, Rei is the bitch and the worst. Mako, I think is her name. She's all right. She's just kind of this weird character. Is like, she sees a guy and she's just like, oh, he reminds me of my old boyfriend. Every single guy she sees. Well, no, I thought this one reminded you. No, he just, his hair reminded this one. It's everything. And then she'll change again. But the one thing that also annoys me just is Tuxedo Mask. And the thing that annoys me about Tuxedo Mask is that his name is Tuxedo Mask. Of course, his regular name is it Mamado? I don't know. I get him confused with Mako. And I think there's another character that was introduced, Mikado. Or maybe that's him. All these M names confusing me. But yeah, Tuxedo Mask is just such a... I mean, it's just a literal... His literal name. He wears a tuxedo and he wears a mask, so he's called Tuxedo Mask. And it's so stupid. Every time they say that and they don't laugh when they say it, it's just like, how can you say that with a straight face? It's so unoriginal. It's so stupid. Tuxedo Mask. Tuxedo Mask. But yeah, that's all the anime I've watched since the last episode. I think the talking about that whole Twitter thing really took out all of my energy. I lost it all. So before I end there, before I end this podcast, more accurately to say, as my mouth is just getting drier and drier, and this episode's going on far too long, I want to talk a bit about Warhammer Quest, which I just received a copy for. I'm playing on the Xbox One. It releases tomorrow, which means it releases at midnight tonight, Eastern Time. So yeah, calculate that yourself. It's $30. I think it'll be coming on PS4 same time as well. And it is based on the tabletop game of the same name, Warhammer Quest. And it's not too shabby. The problem is in its origin, in its source material, in that it's based on this tabletop game, you know, and with that comes dice rolls and all that. So, when you're attacking an enemy or even healing one of your allies, the amount you heal is randomly affected by a dice roll you don't see. Whether or not you hit an enemy is based on a dice roll you don't see, and perform this action, and then it'll be a hit or a miss, or, you know, you'll heal 1 or 6 points based on something you don't see. And this isn't uncommon in games like this. Any game with a tabletop as its source material usually has this integrated, like the Blood Bowl games, or that Mortic Kai Morta, Die Morta, whatever game that came out that was sort of like an XCOM-y game, or even like XCOM. Though XCOM is based on percentages that you at least get to see. You don't see any of that in Warhammer Quest. And there were times where I had a string of like four or five misses that led to me losing I don't think I ever lost more than two on a turn. Party members because of that, which is it's just frustrating when that happens. But it is a solid recreation of the tabletop game, and it's good if you want to play something like that and you just want to play by yourself, and you know, you don't want to bust out a board game and get all that complicated stuff out and set up and have to have players over. You could probably play single player the board game, because there are a lot of board games you could play solo, but you know, there's also just the hassle that a lot of people don't enjoy doing that, with setting it up and all that. And this is a solid recreation of that. Control wise, it's a bit clunky because there are a lot of menus to navigate. But like when you're playing the game and just doing all that, it doesn't feel too bad. But navigating the menus can be really clunky. So I think, you know, if this game does sound interesting and you have a PC that is decent, definitely check it out on there. I did look, and I guess there was some controversy with the game when it came out on PC because it was $15 and then I guess had DLC characters and all that kind of stuff. That isn't the case on console. It's just a flat $30 fee for the entire game. And I think that could be a problem. Because I don't know how much content is in there just yet. I feel like there's probably a good amount of content because I've played through a few missions now, and it definitely is going to take a while to level up characters. So unless the level cap is like 5 or something, I feel like there's going to be a lot of stuff to do. But I think $30 is going to be hard for some people to swallow just looking at it as like, okay, this is a tabletop game I'm paying $30 for. But it's something I'm excited to put more time into. I'm enjoying it overall, even though it can be frustrating at times, but sometimes games can be frustrating. I mean, I love Cultsip Saga so much. That was all about random roll dices, and what was annoying about that is you save the game and you return, and it's always the same outcome. So it wasn't really random. It's like, okay, we already said what everything is going to do and what everything is going to turn out to be. But been playing as much of Warhammer Quest as I've been able to since getting the code yesterday, and look forward to talking about it more in the future. But I wanted to put some thoughts out there as it'll be coming out later tonight. So if you're a fan of classic tabletop RPG games, you know, grid based and all that, definitely check it out. And kill some goblins and orcs and giant spiders and all that jazz. But that will do it for today's episode. This what sort of started out with enthusiasm. Oh, I'm so tired. I'm yawning on the podcast. it's been exhausting because I didn't go back. I never got back to sleep because I was just sort of worked up after that whole dialogue, and I woke up earlier and then I didn't fall asleep. And then I had that, you know, I think the whole conversation in general, starting with just me and Justin chatting for a bit, it was like at 2, and then it all wrapped up at 3, and it's like, and then I couldn't fall back asleep, and I've been up ever since. I didn't even take a nap today. What was wrong with me? Maybe I'll take a nap after I do this. No, I gotta eat something. I'm hungry. I'm a little hungry. Yeah, I'll eat. Then maybe I'll take a nap. Oh boy. So that will do it for today's episode. I hope you all enjoyed this mess. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Kuznets. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, my anime list, all the usual places, at PX Sausage. I'm on Steam, at PX Sausage. I think that's how you find me, is by searching that name particularly. Because my Steam ID is different, but I don't know what you use. I think it's just PX Sausage. Whatever, you go to the site and you find the links there. On PSN, I'm the Kush 3. I am excited about what I'm getting from Gamefly in a few days, or who knows. The turnaround with Gamefly is terrible. I hate how long it takes them to receive something you ship back, how long it takes them to ship something out. It's awful. I only stay a subscriber because they have good deals on used games and get that 10% discount by keeping my subscription. And you do the whole like pay for 3 months at once by doing the gift option thing, and it's significantly cheaper. It's like $26 or $27 for 3 months of one disc out, where if you were paying it month to month, I think it's around like $15 a month or something. It's ridiculous how you're able to do that, and you just like, I don't know how many people actually pay attention to that and actually do that. But if you're not, if you're paying month to month, you may want to check it out in the gift option thing. I'm going there right now to see how much exactly it is. And while I talk about that, I also was downloading things like crazy these past few days to reach my data cap, because I always want to do that, to stick it to them for capping me in general. It annoys the hell out of me that I'm capped. And I probably use more, well, I definitely use more data than I would otherwise because of the cap. So at the very bottom of the webpage, you go to buy gift certificate to save some money, and you can get 3 months. One game out at a time, $26.95. You can also do two games at a time if you want, but I don't know why. I just do one. You can only play one game at a time. I guess if you're in like a household with multiple people, you'd want to do that. But $27 for 3 months. And then this is what makes it crazy. For if you're paying it month to month, it's $15.95. So it's $16 per month, which would make it $48 for 3 months. You're saving $21 if you do it the gift certificate, gift way purchase. So I don't know why you wouldn't do that. It just makes perfect sense to do the gift certificate membership. So yeah. Pro tip for game flyers, and then, you know, you get your free $5 coupon, I think, every 6 months, and 10% off once you've been a member for a certain amount of time. And that's why I do it, because they have a lot of decent sales and even non-sales for used games. And the thing I really like about them is because of their service, they just put the discs in the things and they, you know, send them off to people. And the cases always remain in immaculate condition. They're basically brand new cases. And any DLC that comes with inside of a case or whatever, it's not used because they're not sending the cases to people. So, yeah. Pro tip right there. Anyway, moving on. The site is, of course, pixeladesausage.com, where you can find this podcast, the other podcasts to do, the occasional vlog, may be more frequent again, occasional write-ups, the art I do, which if you like, you can go over to pxsart.com. And if you'd like to support the site and everything we do in general, please go over to patreon.com/pxs and think about becoming a patron, because while that won't let us quit our day jobs, it makes us just feel good and appreciated for someone to be like, you know what, I'm fine giving y'all $1 a month. Please don't support us if that buck would otherwise feed your family and child. I'm not even being funny. I'm, you know, serious. Like, if things are so bad that, you know, a little bit here and there would be taken away from your family, don't ever do that. Never do that. But also don't do illegal things. You can't download this show for free illegally, because it's already free. So don't worry about that. I will never put this garbage behind a paywall. You'll always get this crap for free, no matter what. That is my promise to you. And with that, I shall bid this podcast adieu. Bye-bye. You know what I don't understand? Whenever I say bye-bye, I wave. I wave at no one. I'm not recording this. There's no video. What am I doing?